God never asks us to do something that we can't do. He just said, simply believe. And what he says is, you know what I'm saying? I mean, and you know, one thing about Jesus is he's never been untrustworthy. You know, even he says, even when we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. And so believing is something that God would have us all do. Amen? That's free. Kids, you're free in the name of Jesus. Sunday school right now. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord is good. Thank you, God. Father, we come before you as a body of believers, God, and we're asking that, Lord, that you would do some things within our heart and our mind. God, we want to live in the day right now. We want to be able to live at peace with God. We want to live in security in our heart, God, that we know that there is an eternity for us. And Lord, we don't want the enemy to have any advantage within our life. And so we bind the powers of hell, every lie in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask that your spirit would speak to our hearts in truth, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask a question, and I ask you to respond to this. In a way, because it's something God wants us to do. How many believe in Jesus? Raise your hand. Now, there should be every hand raised, right? We believe in Jesus. And so it's important that when we begin to look into the Bible and we read it, you know, he wants us to believe it for what it is, for what it's saying. And I want to start out in the book of 1 John, and I want to go to chapter 5, and I want to read 3 verses to you. We're going to talk about some things today. I think it's really important that we just get on track with the things of God. It says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the children born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, and we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Now, I don't know about you. What he's talking about now is, you know, when a person comes to the truth in their own heart and in their own mind, and when they grab a hold and they embrace the truth, doing what is right is not hard. It's when it's mixed with a bunch of our own emotions and when it's mixed with a bunch of our own desires that doing the truth becomes difficult. And so as we begin to grab a hold of God, you know, there's some things that I want to share with you today. But, you know, it talks about here, the moment that you believe in Jesus Christ, you're born of God. You've been born again. When you begin to put your, and when I'm saying that, when you believe in Jesus, you believe in what Jesus did. What did he do on the cross? He died for us to take away our sin and our punishment. And all these things that go on our, and when we believe in Jesus, and suddenly we're upended against some problem, the enemy's attacking us, our body, our family, whatever it is, Jesus simply says, believe in me. So the moment you begin to believe in Jesus and what he's done, you begin to get free. You understand? And God doesn't want anything to separate us from the truths of God, what Jesus Christ did. So the moment you believe in Jesus, you become a child of God. If any other thing is speaking to your mind that you're not, it is a lie from the pit of hell. And you, as an individual, have the right to reject that in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe, who's your Lord and Savior? Huh? Who are you putting your trust in? Who have you believed to forgive you of your sins? All of them? All right, because, you know, the devil will come, well, not all. What about the ones you're doing right now? Well, God's going to set me free from them too. Amen? So, I don't know, the moment we believe in Jesus, we become born again. And then it talks about here how we have eternal life. I want to jump down to verse 12. I'm going to jump around just a little bit. But it says in verse 12, he who has the Son has the life. And he who does not have the Son does not have the life. This is written that you may what? Know. Now, if you got Jesus, he wants you to know, not wonder or later on, you know, I don't know if I lost it or if I can get it back. You know what I'm saying? He wants you to know. That's why he wrote it. That's why it's written. That you can know. You're not going to lose something that Jesus gave because you feel funny or you're thinking weird. You're not going to lose it. And so God wants us to be able to trust him. And so the moment we begin to trust him, things begin to happen. So we see that we can have a confidence in God. God wants us to have a confidence in him. I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes, you know, if we try to have confidence in others or sometimes our own self, sometimes Jesus, that's not what God's asking. He's saying, you can have confidence in me. Jesus already did it. He paid the price. And so these things are written. And it goes on, it talks about that those who believe in the name of the Son of God. Verse 13, it says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. I don't know about you. We've been talking a lot about the name of Jesus. Man, I'm telling you what. I've used the name of Jesus in places where most people would never even mention that name. And it has worked. I don't know. The name of Jesus has caused people that we're going to, I mean, you know, we're in another country and they're going to throw us all in jail and they bring us to the jail. And I just tell them, you do what you think you can. That's what God said. Tell them, do in the name of Jesus. And I'll tell you what, they put us in an office in a chair and they did all these things and made all these threats. And the next thing you know, they let us go. And then we leave and we come back and they were going to put us in a place where we'd never see the sunlight again. But what did God do? See, God healed two of his men that worked for him as they came to one of the meetings before. And now he'll do anything that you need him to do. I'm going to help you. I'm going to get these things. I mean, he made it to where we didn't have to leave every couple of months in order to renew something, to get something. And so God, he has the ability to even make our enemies be at peace with us. And these things are written that we might know. And you know, eternal life is something that God wants us to know. It doesn't depend on you. It depends on him. And so he wrote these things. And so, you know, if you're struggling trying to figure out who you are and if you're saved, I want to tell you something. Stop it. Something got into your mind that shouldn't be there. It's not God. God says, I love you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What are we believing in our lives? You know, we let the enemy play with us sometimes, and we don't realize it's the enemy. But, you know, and we'll get into some of this just a little bit. But, you know, it talks about everyone who believes that Jesus is born of God. This is, you know, in verses 4 and 5, I want to read that because these are really good. These are good verses. You want to read the Bible. You want to get it into your heart. It says in verse 4 and 5, 1 John, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. What? Our faith. Our faith in what? Oh, you know, I tell you what, I've seen people that they desperately need something so bad. You know, in India, this lady, she's just praying. She's just like that for about 15 minutes. And just, you know, just trying to cry out to God, trying to get a hold of God. She's just desperate for God. And I went up and I began to go through a translator. I said, sister, God never asked you to put faith in your faith. He told you to put faith in God. The enemy is telling you, you didn't believe right. You didn't believe proper. You didn't pray long enough. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. And so she's just desperate. No matter how you do, you just got to believe in God. You see, and it's important that you don't let the enemy have what he wants. He wants to take away your peace. He wants to take away and get you to begin to believe something that's just, it's not true. So this is the victory that overcome the world. What? Our faith in what? Ourself, what we've done, or God. Our faith in Jesus. When Jesus said, it is finished, what happened? It is finished. The only thing that wasn't finished when he died on the cross was he rose again onto everlasting life. He had to go and take the keys to hell and death to make it all possible for us. And so, you know, we need to put faith in the right place. Now, in verse 5, it says, who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? I'm telling you, God came out of heaven on earth. He left his glory, came and suffered and paid the price and died and did what we cannot do so that we could be saved. Do you get it yet?
Yeah.
You understand? And so sometimes, you know, in the midst of our stupor, we just kind of go off sidetracked. And God's promises are real. And what he's saying is you are to say yea and amen. Yes, so be it, God. It's done. And so here we are. We're trying to put our trust in God. A Christian is someone that puts his faith in Jesus. And as you put your faith in Jesus, what happens? You become a child of God. Anywhere in there, did he say you're perfect? Or did he say he who has no sin is a liar? You understand? You see where I'm getting? I mean, I don't know about you, but right in the midst of all this stuff, we can get more confused with ourselves than anything else. And God's never been confused. He paid a price for a reason. And so, I don't know about you, I look at the Bible and I look at things, and you wanna be able to help people in the best way you can. You know, believing that we're a child of God. You know, and you begin to believe in his name. Whatever you do in his name. He said, you pray, you have the right to pray in my name. And you know, he has a purpose. He talks about a purpose. He talks about freedom. Freedom that we've never experienced before. God's going to continue to bring us into more freedom in the things of God. And he talks about a peace that passes understanding, right? He talks about a peace in the midst of a fire. These are the things that Jesus Christ did, and he talks about a way. Yeah, I don't know about you. I don't know. Maybe this is a bad confession, but, you know, the world is always trying to duplicate what God has done. You know, and TV ain't the greatest thing in the world, but, you know, I watched The Mandalorians the other day. And you know, it's kind of crazy because the world likes to try to copy Jesus in a lot of things. And, you know, here you got these people, and it just stuck in my mind. These Mandalorians keep saying, it is the way. It is the way. It is the way. You know, well, yeah, Jesus is the way, man. You know, he is the way. And then they get right down to this end, and here's this little kid that's becoming a Mandalorian. And what they do is they take him to the water, and he promises to fulfill the way. And then they sprinkle water on them, a baptism. Well, I'm going to tell you, they're trying to steal the glory from God. These things that God has ordained, they want to try to take them away and make them common that you don't understand them and be able to use them in the name of Jesus and this stuff. I'll tell you, these things, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, it's entertaining to see that the world has to try to copy Jesus in order to make anything real. So, lately, I got to confess, we've been dealing with a lot of people that are believing lies from the enemy. We've got a few. They're believing lies from the enemy. And what I mean this is that, you know, the enemy's he's got them, and he's tormenting them and confusing them. And what they don't understand is right from the very beginning, Jesus wants you just to trust him, believe him. You know, how many know the devil is the accuser of the brethren? So if you know that and you know what the Word of God says, why are you accepting them accusations? You understand? You hear what I'm saying? You just went contrary to the Word of God. You just went out of faith into doubt. You went out of belief, and so now you're in turmoil. It's nothing to do with God or what God cannot do. It's Jesus said, believe in me. Now, I don't know about you. See, here's where the enemy begins to do some things. And I want to try to clarify, because I think when we begin to understand, you know, here the enemy is accusing us of not being good enough. Not, you know, you got to do this, and you can't do that, and you got to eat this, and you got to do that. And I mean, he's just doing all these things, and he's saying all these things, and here we are, you know, we're just being tossed and turned. And yet, you know, the Bible says, Jesus said in the book of Romans, what you cannot do, I've already done. He said, what you cannot do, I done. And so, you know, I don't know about you, but I've never been able to perform like that. I've never been able to get free of myself. And every time I don't think about God and staying in the faith, the devil wants to drag me out of the faith. Now, here's something I want to speak to some people today, especially anybody that's struggling in their mind. You have to understand by faith that you belong to Jesus and it's already finished. So now what happens is how many know that we talk all the time, even though our mouth ain't moving, and even though somebody ain't next to us, we're talking all the time. And you got to understand who you're talking to. If you don't know who you're talking to, you're going to be in a world of hurt. And the Bible says, I mean, the Bible really teaches there's only three voices. There's Satan. He speaks to us. He accuses us. He has fiery darts, the Bible talks about, and only the shield of faith can distinguish them thoughts that come into our mind. And then the Bible says that there's another one. He said, we talk to ourselves. I mean, that's probably where we talk most of the time, is to ourselves. And we're always thinking about our problems. We're always thinking about this, and how can I do that, and what am I going to do here, and how is that, and everything that everybody says, and we just sit and we talk to ourselves. And what we got to understand biblically is our nature is a fallen nature that's as close to a demon as you can get without being one. They always go astray, the Bible says. Man in his heart has been corrupt. That's why Jesus Christ came. And Satan, which is Lucifer, like I said, and we said this before, Lucifer and Mesifer, they get along really well. That's who I've always followed. That's who I always talk to. If I'm not talking to myself, I'm talking to him. And yet God, if we learn these voices, you see, God said, I love you. He said, as many, and so, I mean, he's saying, I've given you a sound mind. So what am I doing, God? Why am I letting these thoughts go to a place where the enemy has? See, it's God wants us to begin to realize, if you're talking to yourself a lot, stop. If you're talking to the enemy, absolutely stop. And begin to just talk to God. Begin to get into his word and know that no matter what you do or what you have done, you belong to God. And God promises a way. And so, you know, I don't know about you, that takes care of a little bit of, it's never meant on something that I can do. I mean, God never, you know, and so it becomes evident. It becomes evident, you know, that we look at verse 1. The Bible says, he who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whoever loves the Father loves the children born of God. Rather than being all caught up in our mind, God wants us to begin to have another kind of a purpose. The purpose that God ordained us for. The purpose that we've been born for. I mean, you know that when you're born and then born again, you become part of the family of God. God begins to give you gifts and talents and different things that you're to begin to use, not just for yourself, but to help people understand God. You're part of God's kingdom. And God will definitely provide for you. Just like, you know, Bobby here, you know, he'd been a Class A bonehead part of his life, you know what I'm saying? And now as he begins to get into the things of God, God begins to straighten out the bonehead. See, that's his purpose, isn't it? He's there to help us. I'm one of the chiefs, like Paul said. He begins to help us, and then he begins to restore us, and he begins to cause our relationships to be better, and he begins to bless our ways, and now he's getting into this house, and sure, he looks at it, he's got a lot of work, but all these things are going to be taken care of by God. And God will keep you as long as you keep yourself in Christ. Well, I can be in Christ, but God, my mind's out here. Well, get it in. Get your mind in Christ. Begin to get that sound mind that God says it's not in who you are, and it's in who he is, and he's already done it. So we look at some of these things. At verse 1, it talks about being born of God, but whoever loves the Father loves the children born of him. Now, this is evidence of your love for the Father, how much you love God's children. I thought about this, God. You know, I don't know about you, but you know, when you go into some of these places, we've gone into places all around the world, when you really come into a good body of Christ, a good church, I mean, it's like, man, I've never seen you before. I've never been here before, but it feels like I've been here all my life. Feels like I belong. I feel like that's who God is. You understand? We are to love the children of God. And so what happens is we have to then begin to look. You know, when we talk about believing Jesus, love is something that's expressed. Faith is expressed in love, okay? And I don't know about you, but love is not a thought kept in custody in my mind. Love ends up being an action. Love ends up being an action in my life. And so when we love God and we say we love God, I got to ask a question. And I can ask it to Harley, but I'm really asking everybody, what am I doing to show my love? Simple. What am I as a personal being doing to show my love to God the Father? He said, if I love God, I'm going to love the children of God. Am I doing anything to love the children of God? Or am I just living my life day to day? I got to go to work and I'll get up and go to bed. And, you know, and that becomes a real, you know, if you don't realize God put you on a job for a reason, you got to be a witness on that job. You got to bring life to that job. If you bring life to that job, God is going to bring life to you in that job. In other words, it's going to be 8 hours of torment or more. And so he wants us to begin to show love. Okay, so, you know, how many enjoy coming on Wednesday and eating a meal, having fellowship? It's been really good. I mean, we get almost as many on a Wednesday as we do on a Sunday. And it's nice to not have to run home and try to prepare a meal and then run off to church and, you know, all these here things. But just to be able to come and just, you know, good meal and fellowship. I want to tell you, we got the hardest time getting people to commit to try to cook. Come on, Lord. You know, Janny and I think we've had 3 out of 4 meals. I don't think it's supposed to be that way. I don't think God made the pastor to have to do everything. But God made the body to do everything. And so what happens is God wants us to love the people of God. It's nice to not have to worry about a meal to come and just have fellowship. And, you know, if somebody only had to do it once in a month or once in 2 months or 3 months, that's not much. And so God wants us to begin to commit one to another, the simplest kinds of things. You know, whether it's to help somebody, whether it's to pray for somebody, whether it's to cook a few things, or whether it's to wash some of the dishes that are in there. You know, it's been a blessing to see the Teen Challenge guys come, and they've been serving and doing good. And you know, everybody, you know, God is using some people, and some people are working really hard. And that's part of the problem is those people are the ones that are working. They're working hard. And God wants it not to be hard. He wants it to be able to be easy. You know, how many know that when one set of hands does something and suddenly you got 20 sets of hands, it becomes a whole lot easier. And that's what God talks about, the body of Christ and the people of God, loving the people of God. See, we love them with some action. Now, that was free. That was a promotion for Wednesday night, wasn't it? Come on, Lord. So, we see something that, you know, when we see that God, you know, God blesses doers. That's what he does. He said, blessed is the doer. And so somehow we got to start talking to ourselves, am I believing Jesus the way I do? Because, you know, what happens is when you start doing, you start getting filled, you know. You start getting filled with purpose and with, you know, that joy and peace. You know, God begins to do things according to our willingness to love him and to serve him. God begins to bless. You know, how many know that God says a worker is worthy his wage? I'll tell you what, he's a good God. You know, even when we aren't obedient, I know that God still does things. But God, the more we begin to encourage one another, the more we do these things. And so, you know, this is how we know we're loving the people of God. Now, I don't know about you, but we look at these verses 2 and 3. It says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. Now, I'm going to say this quick, too, that God... You know, people say, well, what do you want me to do? Well, I can't give you everything, always a specific little thing, because then I got to be here all the time. But if you look in the Bible, especially look into the New Testament, you're going to see about 100 and some times, but there's about 37, 38 things in there that, you know, the Bible says that we're to do to one another. That's what it says. We're to love one another, and we're to pray for one another, we're to help one another, we're to serve one another. It goes on and on. If you'll do that, you'll never have to ask me what to do. Serious. If you'll do that, God will suddenly have a place for you to fulfill. And so, you know, I don't know about you, but believing Jesus is more than just sitting there. You got to get into the Word of God, and then you got to let the Word of God get in you to the place where it begins to change our response, our actions. So then he says this. He says in verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and that his commandments are not burdensome. Oh, God, I got to repent sometimes. Sometimes I've turned what is a blessing into something that feels like a burden. Keeping God's commandments aren't a burden. That's freedom in its highest form. You understand? I mean, and the devil will play so hard in our mind, not wanting us to get free, not wanting us to fulfill and find our purpose in God. You know, I'll tell you, it never ends what God has for us and for those who love him. And, you know, who will stand in the gap, God says. Wow. I'll tell you what, anybody that stands in the gap, God is going to, he's going to make a way for them. And so we understand positively that love is not just a feeling, it involves an action. And so in all of our deals, and to obey God's commandments, he says to love. You understand? This is a command. It isn't a request. He's commanded. We have to love one another. We're to do some of these things, whether we suddenly feel like it or not. As we begin to believe God, God begins to change our innermost being. Now, how can you be sure that you're a son of God? That verses 6 and 7 begin to say this. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not with water only, but with water and with blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. Okay, now it says, for these are three that testify. Okay, what are three that testify? The Spirit, it says in verse 8, the water and the blood. These three are in agreement. Now, how can I begin to get to the place where, you know, I can be sure that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I want to tell you, you know, God begins to speak some of these things, and he says there's three witnesses. He said the water and the blood and the Spirit. Now, turn to Matthew 3 and verse 17, if you would. And behold, a voice out of heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is when Jesus went in to be baptized. And a voice spoke. And Jesus, what did he do? He came through the water and through the blood. And then he said, and then the Spirit begins to be this witness. These three are a witness. So when it comes to some of this stuff, you really want to, you know, I've had more people fight me about what baptism, well, you know, when I was 6 months old, my mom, they had me baptized. Well, that's good. Did you repent? I mean, there's requirements on baptism. The Bible says, repent and believe and be baptized. So I don't know about you, when they baptized me as a little infant, I couldn't repent. And so when I got older and got, you know, got born again, I believed in Jesus, I knew in my mind, this is going on and on and on and on. Now, when you go to get baptized, what's going to happen is God, as you read the scriptures in baptism, God does a circumcision not made with human hands in the removal of the sin nature in your heart and in your mind. So when you go to that water, you're saying, I want to die to sin and live to God. Now you're going to start to get a witness from God. If you've never done it, get a witness from God. You hear me? And then it says through the blood. Well, I want to tell you, sin separates us from God. And it wasn't until I came to God and I said, God, I need your help. I'm a sinner. And this is sin. I'm a drug addict, you name it, crazy, idiot. And I want to tell you, just that way, as I recognize the blood of Jesus Christ was to forgive me of these sins and to free me of these sins, but he wanted me to confess them and give them, not in a confessional book, but confess them and then say, God, I want to apply the blood of Jesus Christ to my life and to my heart. Now, if you've never applied the blood of Jesus to your sins, you never get the witness on what sin really is. And so I identify as a woman. No, not really. I'm just telling you that. Because of sin, God made me a man. I knew when I was old enough to understand I was born that way. And, you know, being born again. And so then he talks about the third witness. He talks about the Holy Spirit. Oh, man, I want to tell you something. You know, you have to apply the blood of Jesus Christ. In that verse, you know, it talks about Jesus came through the water and through the blood. He shed his blood for us. And it's through these things that we begin to get a witness in our life that we're saved. I believe in Jesus. I'm walking with Jesus. There ain't no devil of hell that can take that away from me. And then it talks about the Spirit of the Holy Spirit as being a witness. How many know that? Spirit of God is something tremendous. It begins to give us this help, but it's part of that testimony. And, you know, there's a baptism in water, the Bible says, and there's also a baptism of the Holy Spirit. So there's two kinds of baptism. There's a baptism in water, and there's a baptism of fire. And that baptism of fire kind of cleans the threshing floor and burns away the chaff, and God wants us to receive the Holy Spirit into our life. He wants us to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It becomes a witness. In Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 16. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again. If you're fearing, get out of it. But if you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry, Abba, Father, he's our Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. See, you got to learn to listen to God. God's Spirit begins to speak to us. If there's another spirit speaking to you, bind it in the name of Jesus and don't take it as yours. And if you're talking to your fallen nature, tell it to get saved. Amen. Jesus already did it. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you, who's you? I hope you, when you raised your hand, you believed in Jesus, that you put yourself right there. But you will receive the Holy Spirit as has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, even to the remote parts of the earth. When do you get power? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and he comes that witness, because you're walking with Jesus. You're walking in what Jesus did. Well, you weren't good today. You argued with your wife. Well, sorry, Lord. I'm glad it doesn't depend on me, because this man needs to hear some truth. You know, the devil will try to keep me in some bondage, saying you don't have the right to talk to him because you just said something bad to your wife. Well, Lord, button up my lips next time, please, in the name of Jesus. You know what I mean? But God forgives us sin, and that's when we receive power, when the Holy Spirit comes. And Romans chapter 8 again, verse 26 and 27 says this. In the same way, the Spirit also helps what? Our weaknesses. For when we do not know how to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us, groanings too deep for words. Verse 27. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. You got to learn to do some praying. You got to learn to get filled with the Holy Ghost. You got to learn to pray in the Spirit. You got to learn to let the Spirit be a witness. Not other spirits. There's many spirits. There's only one Holy Spirit. We got to learn to recognize the voice of the Father. We got to learn to get a hold of these things, and because God already did it, and it doesn't depend upon me. You know, the gospel, I see this, you know, when we talk about it, I'm not going to get into that, but let me do one more. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Well, I tell you what, there's times I really need to remember what God said. And the Spirit of God is one of these witnesses that brings it to being. And he talks about giving us gifts and talents. You know, the Holy Spirit has these gifts and talents, and he begins to give them to us. And God wants to stir up the gifts of God within us so that we can begin to see God's power, God's grace, God's love. And what happens is I begin to realize that, you know, these gifts and talents make a way for us. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, get this one, has never been about you, Harley. It's never been about you. It's been about Jesus Christ and the goodness of God and what Jesus did for you, Harley. And now he's looking for Harley to lay down his life and believe in him, that when I went into the water to die, that I don't keep trying to come alive again when I want to. Or I don't keep stinking thinking and let the enemy play. You know, if you keep stinking thinking, you're going out the door. That ain't no place to be. And then you're going to get beat up to the place where then you'll come back again. But if we can begin to hold on to the truths of God and begin to love God's people, God's family, love God, I'll tell you what, we're going to be successful. So what happens? Luke chapter 6 and verse 38 says this. Give, and it will be given to you. They will be poured into your lap, good measures, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For by the standard of measure, it shall be measured to you in return. So what is God saying? God wants us to give him our life. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, it's not just an offering plate. When the offering plate goes around, God wants you to give. And God knows what you're doing. You know, everybody says, well, yeah, I give. And, well, if you write your name on it, we can, no, I give cash. I want to tell you, there ain't that much cash in there. And God knows. God knows what you're doing. If you try to hold on to it, it's not going to be a blessing. The devil has a right to take it, the Bible says then. And so, you know, I'm not going to get in there, but he doesn't just talk about giving money, but he talks about giving time. He wants you to give time. Well, I'm busy, God. I know you're busy, but I still want a little time. And then he says, and he wants my eyes. You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but I'll turn on a movie and I cannot stand it when they keep effing this and effing that. I can't watch them movies anymore. They're just a bunch of effing no good. And so I don't want to subject myself to that stuff because I take it as being acceptable. And it's not acceptable. The world is not acceptable. And so he wants my eyes and he wants my hands. He wants my hands to be able to work for something that's good. He wants my mouth. You know, like Bobby said, she got to pray for people. Yeah, she came in excited. I want to tell you, the devil can throw things at you, but if you'll do some things for God, you're going to find some peace that you never had. And that's who God is. He is a rewarder. He wants my life. So when I see this, you know, the Bible talks about God wants us to truly die to ourself. He said, I want you to die to your old self. Don't want you to re-resurrect him. I don't want you to try to fix him. I want you just to die to him. He can't be fixed. But we can be changed. You see, God can make a new creation out of us. And that new creation can't be compared to trying to raise up an old, devastated work. And so God wants us to die to self and that we can have something worth living for. In Romans chapter 6, verse 8, it says, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Now, I don't know about you. See, God, there's many scriptures that refer to that, but he truly wants us to die. Die to the old nature so that we can live to God. And you know, that means taking thoughts captive. That means not letting the devil play. When it's contrary to the word of God, it's contrary. And I can't stay there. If you stay there, it's going to take you somewhere. How many know if you walk into a bar and you've had a lot of drinking problems, if you keep walking in there and staying in there, you're going to be drinking after a while. If you hang around bad company, it's going to corrupt good morals. And so all these things are true, and God never meant it to be some regulation on you. He meant it to keep you free. And so we see these things, whether it's sexual things, whether it's, you can go right down the line, God wants us to be truly, truly free. Now, I want to read a couple more verses to you quick. I'm almost to the end. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Our life is to be hidden in God in Christ. It's a place to dwell. It's a place to live in Christ. That mean I don't have to go to work? No, didn't say that. That's a lie of the devil. That mean I don't have to provide for my... No, didn't say that. I mean I can stay in bed till noon every day? No, didn't say that. I said our life is to be hidden in God in Christ. To be diligent, to love the Lord, to rise in the morning, to go to bed, not stay up all night, so that you can get up and do the work that God called you. See, God protects us from the enemy. And then it goes on, you know, it says in verse 13, you know, God wants us to be confident in who he is. Verse 13, it says, these things I have written to you, who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. See, these things were just thrown out there, and if you just go buzz, 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 buzz through them, because you have to read a chapter every day, and that's how you're reading it, I want to tell you, you're not going to get a whole lot. You got to communicate with God. You got to let God write on your heart as you're beginning to read these things, and he wants you to know that you have life in his Son. He wants you to know that. And there ain't no power on earth that can take that away. None. And so God doesn't want us to not be able to approach. And so he talks about being able to come before his throne, approaching God. It talks about with confidence. I want to read verses 14, 15, 16. It says, in verse 14 it says, and this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. I'll tell you what. I don't want to be a babbling guy. I want to know God, and I want God to be able to answer the things that we need, the things that we want, the things that God needs to do within people's lives and our loved ones and in our families. That as we begin to believe God, it talks about, and this is the confidence, not in me, but in Jesus and what he did on that cross. He paid a price for the whole entire human race, past, present, and future. He made a way where we begin to go into heaven, and we are children of God. as we begin to get these witnesses in our heart. Now, whatever we ask, it says, whatever we ask, verse 15, it says, and if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked him for. Why was it written? That we may know. Well, God, you didn't come through quick enough. I want it now. Well, that's why he said have patience. It's in the waiting. God's going to do it. Don't worry. So in the waiting, don't give up. And the last scripture. See, I've got confidence in Jesus' plan for my life. I do. Colossians chapter 3, the last verse. Verse 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Lord, when I think about it, I think there's a little more dying I need to do. I need to die a little bit to more of my stinking thinking and all these other little kinds of things that you ordained for me. And I want to learn to walk with you. You know, that don't just happen just overnight. It happens because we begin to apply ourselves to loving God. As we apply ourselves to loving God's people, as we apply ourselves to believing in when Jesus said, he said, if my word be in you. We got to get those things in there. We got to have something to hold on to that the world cannot take away because the world never gave it to us. Amen? Hallelujah. All about you. I love Jesus. I don't think there's any miracle worker that could do anything more than Jesus. And I'm thankful for his love for each and every one of us and for you. My prayers today are for you. Amen. Father God, we look to you for this day. Lord, help the word of God get all the way in and God stay in, that the enemy can't take it away by some crazy little thing that comes about. But Lord, that I just trust you through it all, because we are children of God because we believe in you, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise.